Good morning, friends. My name is Katie. I'm so glad to be with you here today. We have been walking through a series called Bad Theology, and I want to just give a refresher whether you've been here every week or this is your first time here. Welcome. We're so glad that you're here. I'm going to put it up so we can all remember, because I have solid ADHD, so it's good for me to remember what we're doing here too. Bad Theology, it builds an understanding of God that is more about us than the truth about him. We've been talking about incorrect beliefs and practices, stuff that we've probably heard over and over again so many times that we just assume that it's in the Bible. We just assume that it's something that God said. But it's not. Things like faith fixes everything. Everything happens for a reason. Good people go to heaven. Today we're going to talk about this idea called forgive and forget. Have you ever heard that? Okay. It feels a little more like rage and remember these days. Have you heard of that? I thought I made that up, but I guess I have met others who also have thought that from time to time. So we just have a lot going on. Like, it feels like our collective attitude as a world has gotten a little feistier, a little more aggressive. I just read something the other day and I want to share it with you because it reminds me of that. Forgive and forget, rage and remember. They were trying to talk people into changing, you know, when you write an email or a letter and you put to whom it may concern, they were contending that maybe we needed to change it to whom it's about to concern. Like, ugh, we are amped up. We're carrying a lot of pain and a lot of hurt. Some of us are just mad. And so we're going to talk about that today because I think some of that is tethered to what we're carrying that we shouldn't be carrying. And so we're gonna go into what the Bible says about it today. We're gonna talk about forgiveness. But to get us all on the same page, we're gonna learn a new word. It's the Greek word aphiemi, and that's where forgiveness comes from. It means to let go or to release. Can you say aphiemi? I feel like Dora the Explorer right now. Say it with me, friends. We don't need to necessarily remember that, and I want you to know that this morning I looked at YouTube and listened to somebody say it just so I made sure that I said it as well as I could for you. So aphiemi, let go, release, forgiveness. Some years ago there was a boxer in Ireland. He was a very famous boxer, a champion. Everyone in the country would have known who he was. He was the best of the best. So I imagine, I don't really watch boxing, but I imagine they have like big muscles and, okay, like, yeah? Nice people that you don't want to make upset. He was a familiar face, but two very significant things happened to this very famous boxer from Ireland. The first is that he gave his life to Jesus. He started following the way of God. The second thing was he decided to go into ministry. He became a pastor. And so he would travel around the country of Ireland, setting up tents and hosting revival services or worship services to tell people about Jesus. So there was one day that he was in a new town, and he was setting up his tent and getting ready for the night. These two guys from the neighborhood were walking around and decided to go into the tent. And they just seemed up to no good. They were talking loud. They were being disrespectful. But this boxer, if I was him, I wouldn't worry about two ding-dongs walking into the tent because, you know, I'm a boxer. What are they going to do? He just keeps his nose to the grindstone. He just keeps working and setting up and getting ready for the night. But these two guys just keep inching closer and closer, and they keep getting louder and louder until they're right in front of his face. And one of them decides, I don't know why, to just haul off and hit him in the cheek. So this pastor, this champion boxer, looks up and turns his other cheek and gets hit right there too. So both cheeks now have been hit. The guys, if I was them, would probably run, right? But this pastor takes off his jacket, rolls up his sleeves, gets into a stance, and says with a very thick Irish accent, "The good Lord has given me no further instructions." Whack. And I don't know about you, I think it's hilarious. If you were offended, please don't email me. I'm so sorry. I think it's funny. Because they should have known who he was. And if he looks like what I think boxers look like, they shouldn't have done it anyway. But he said, "The good Lord has given me no further instruction. I turn the other cheek. Now it's my turn." I think that often we're tempted to do the same thing, to take it the way we need it and then say, "The good Lord has given me no further instruction. Now it's my turn." But the thing is, the good Lord has given us further instruction, and those instructions are to forgive. And I know that when we talk about forgiveness, literally the minute you hear that word, it might stir up all kinds of stuff. Because you might be walking through something right now that feels so heavy and overwhelming, and you don't want to talk about forgiveness. You're not ready. Maybe you have set something down and you have forgiven, but every time it comes back up, you got to go through it all over again. You start thinking about the hardest thing that you've ever been through, and you just don't feel like it right now. And I want you to know that I know that some of us are in that space, and my heart today is to do everything that I can to have this conversation in a way that honors the Lord, that helps all of us meet him a little closer, but to do it with great tenderness. So I want you to know that that's my heart. And if this is an area that is really heavy for you right now, I love you and I see you. And we're going to just take a minute before we start and pray. Would you join me? Father God, I thank you so much for the way that you are with us. You are present in every moment. You see us and you love us. You know what we're walking through, even if nobody else does. God, I just pray that you would meet us right now in this space, and wherever we are at in this conversation about forgiveness, God, whether we are feeling the fullness of freedom from anything that we need to forgive, or Lord, we are carrying the weight of pain from things that are so heavy, God, just speak to us the words that we need to hear. Lord, I pray that whatever I say if it needs to be muted, Lord, that you would just help them hear only you. For each and every one of us, Lord, that what we need to hear in the message today and from your word today would be unique to each and every heart. God, but help us to be obedient, to listen and hear what you're telling us. Lord, we love you, we thank you, we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I can tell you that I'm pretty confident that I can put all of us into three groups, one of three groups. You might be like tethering to more than one. You are probably either just walking out of some hurt, you are in the middle of some hurt, or you're getting ready to go through some hurt. And you might say, "Well, Katie, that's not very positive." But Katie is very positive. You are probably in one of those three groups, right? And I feel like for so many times, being a person in this world means that we're going to get hurt. We're going to walk through hard stuff. Not everybody's going to be nice to us all the time. If you drive, you already know that that's true, right? If you stand in line to get your license plates renewed, although everybody was really nice when I went in last time, but no matter what, all throughout the Bible, we are reminded that our relationship with God is not just a one-on-one thing. He cares so much about how we relate to other people. And so we've got to talk about it. If walking through hurt with other people is something that we'll encounter regularly, we should know what the Bible says about what to do with it. And then we need to hug it until we love it. We're going to start in one of my very favorite places to talk about forgiveness, which might surprise you, which is in Matthew 6. It's the Lord's Prayer. I'm not sure that when you think about the Lord's Prayer, you think about forgiveness. But we're going to see what Jesus has to say. He was asked by someone, "How do we pray? How do we do it?" And this was his response. Oh, disclaimer, I love you. You may have learned this in a different translation, and that is awesome. I'm so happy for you. You can say it in your head as we're reading it, and that's totally fine. We're going to read it from the NIV. Okay, I love you. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed or holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. It's amazing to me that when Jesus was asked how we should pray, out of all of the things that he could have taught in that moment, he makes forgiveness such a huge part of it. He knows the human heart so well. Something he knows about forgiveness is that the very best time to forgive is before you're ever even hurt, and the next best time is right now. Forgiveness is one of the main aspects of this daily prayer. Each day, when we wake up, we should pray something similar. And in it, we are to pre-forgive the fools who are going to hurt us that day. And there's a spoiler alert. Someday we are that fool. We hurt ourselves sometimes, right? He knows that the very best time to forgive is before we're even hurt, that we have a posture of trusting and believing in what he can do when we do that. Something else that he knows about forgiveness is that just because someone lays down an offense, it doesn't mean we have to pick it up. Notice that immediately after we're instructed to forgive, we are to pray the words, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us." This shows a pattern of how undealt with anger and bitterness, unforgiveness, can actually bring the enemy closer. And we see that in Scripture all over, but we're going to talk about two specific places where we see that. This is in Genesis. Later she, Eve, gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, and Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of his firstborn of his flock. It's a better offering. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." Sin is crouching. Unforgiveness leads to temptation. There's one more in Ephesians that we're going to look at. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Some powerful examples of how God calls us to not reduce our lives to the limits of living hurt. In the thick of pain, it's so easy to dive right into that pool of anger and bitterness and resentment. But God calls us to more because he loves us so very much. Today we're going to walk through a parable that Jesus shared that shows us one of the best examples of the power of forgiveness and how important it is to God. Jesus often taught in parables, and again, I love it because I have a very short attention span. We're going to learn one more Greek word today. It's parabole, parable. And it's split into two words. Para means beside or next to. Bole means to cast or to throw. And one of the things, if you've never known this about a parable, is that it's taking truth from God and throwing it alongside a story that helps us understand it better. It makes it more applicable to us. And I love that about Jesus because he meets us right where we are. His intent, his heart is for us to understand. So parabole, I'm not going to make you say that, but if you want to, you can. Okay. We're going to dive in. We're going to go to Matthew 18. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" And I'm going to stop right there and tell you, Peter is trying to get points as a student from the teacher, because in that culture at that time, when he says up to seven times, he's being very generous, because the culture of the day was three strikes and you're out. If somebody messes up once, forgive. Messes up twice, forgive. Messes up third time, all done. No more. So he's going, "Hey, Jesus, seven times? Look at me." Okay. Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Other translations say 70 times seven, and there's actually this huge ongoing debate with groups of theologians. I'm sure you're keeping up on it, right? You're all up to speed on that. They're arguing, is it 77? Is it 490? Back and forth and back and forth. I want to tell you what I think he meant. Stop counting. Stop counting. Because who wants to do math anyway, right? 1 Corinthians 13 tells us love keeps no record of wrongs. Jesus is telling us that we aren't going to keep count. No more scorecards with forgiveness. And he's blowing their minds. And then he goes into a parable to make what he just said applicable through a story. We're going to do it in two scenes because it's kind of long. Again, attention spans. All right. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold or 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. So in today's context, that amount of money would have been about $6 billion today. The sheer volume, I can't even wrap my mind around what that is, but one talent was 20 years' wages. There's no way he could have paid it back. But he was desperate, and he said what he felt like he needed to say. He would do anything for that not to happen, right? He begs for forgiveness of the debt. He says he'll pay back everything. And the king has mercy on him. He forgives this enormous, unable to be paid back debt. All of it. And so we would assume that the servant is very happy and commits to a life of service and generosity, right? He's been forgiven a huge amount, begged for his life, whew, and he's okay. It's been forgiven. Let's see what he does. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay it back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Nope, not a life of service and generosity, huh? Do you notice that the second servant said the exact same sentence as the first man said to his master? "I'll pay you back. Have mercy on me." It should have been a little ding, 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 right? But no. The second servant did not owe $60 billion. It was 100 denarii. That's like 100 days' wages, probably around $10,000 today. $60 billion, $10,000. He was forgiven $60 billion, but would not forgive a $10,000 debt. The king who forgave the enormous debt is like God who forgives us of the unimaginable. You and me, we are the servant that was forgiven much, but often do not extend that same mercy on others. So in light of that parable and those words, that I think the Lord will just keep pressing in on your heart this week, that's been my prayer, we're going to talk about a few things dealing with forgiveness. The first one is, forgiveness is an absolute command by God. We've seen that. But here's the comfort. Reconciliation is not a command. Forgetting what happened, forgetting what was done to you is not a command. God won't put us in a position where we have to stay close enough to someone who has used us or abused us to let them keep abusing and using us over again. Forgiveness is not their ticket to keep hurting us. Out of obedience to God, we forgive the person. But we do not have to reconcile. We do not have to forget. Second, unforgiveness doesn't change the other person. It changes us. In 1973, there were a group of researchers from Stanford University, and they wanted to do a study, because that's what they did. And they started pretending like they were hearing voices, and they were checked into a mental hospital. Once they were admitted, though, they stopped pretending like they were hearing voices, and they started behaving normally, as they would on the outside. But every action in that space was seen as a sign of mental illness. When they were taking notes during classes, it was seen as compulsive writing. Walking in the hallways was seen as aimless and agitated behavior. Normal behavior is seen as pathological when you stare at things pathologically. This is exactly what unforgiveness does to us. We begin to live in our hurt. We begin to see the world through our anger. We're in this like echo chamber where every person and experience is seen by us through our unresolved wounds. We assume the worst. We get defensive, untrusting. We ruin healthy relationships. And in our hurt, we often hurt others. Forgiveness is an absolute command by God, and unforgiveness changes us. The third one, forgiveness doesn't make what they did okay. I think a lot of times we might withhold forgiving someone, truly releasing or letting go, like what we learned that meant, because we don't want to let anyone think that what they did was okay. That's not what it does. What we're doing when we forgive is to say that I will not let what they did to me keep doing damage to me. It doesn't make the wrong right. It doesn't erase the hurt. It's a holy decision that says, I can't control what they did, but I do control what it keeps doing in me. Bitterness is a chain. Resentment is a prison. Do not let someone else's bad choice keep you locked up. That's what unforgiveness does. The fourth one is forgiveness is constant. I don't go to the fair. I bet a lot of you do and have an amazing time. I went one time, and that was it. But I know that there's a whack-a-mole game, you know, where you get like that little soft hammer thing and all those things pop up. I have four kids, so my whole life is whack-a-mole. Like, somebody's always got something, right? Forgiveness reminds me of that game. Because I don't think I can think of a day where everything was in a nice, neat little bow and the sun was shining and the birds were singing and nobody hurt my feelings at all, right? We don't probably have a lot of days like that, unless you just sit in the woods by yourself. And then maybe it would be a good day. Here's what we need to do. Every time we remember, we forgive again. It's not a one-time thing. You will choose it repeatedly, over and over, for your freedom and your joy and your peace. Don't allow bitterness and pride to be planted and grow in your heart. Surrender it to the Lord quickly and often. Every hurt, every trauma has two parts. The first one is the fact of what happened. That's like the verifiable, this is exactly what happened, the objective event. Then there's the impact of what happened, the subjective, internal, individual response to the event, how it affected you when it happened. We can forgive the facts of what happened, which satisfies God's command to forgive. But we can also acknowledge that we're going to have to walk through the impact of it for far longer, maybe forever. I think sometimes that whack-a-mole, we get triggered by something, and we feel like we failed. We feel like maybe we didn't really forget. And I don't think that's true. I think those triggers can actually be God's mercy, because if the full impact hit us all at once, I'm not sure we would survive. Those triggers, those moments where it all comes back, rushing back to us, I think is a gift from the Lord, because it shows us where we need a little more healing, where we maybe need to extend a little more forgiveness, where we need to just take some time and sit with him or go talk to somebody about it. Forgiveness is an absolute command by God. Unforgiveness changes us. Forgiveness doesn't make what they did okay. And forgiveness is a constant. There are so many magical and extraordinary examples of regular people forgiving enormous and unimaginable things. You've probably heard some of those. You could do a quick internet search and find a million of them, and everybody's crying, and it's amazing, and there are kittens, and it's just beautiful. I want to invite you, though, into a moment of sitting with the Lord with yours. We're not gonna talk about what other people have done today, because we don't want to reduce our lives to the limits of living hurt. I'm reading a book right now about how we spend our time, and one of the premises of it is that the average 90-year-old person has around 4,700 weeks on this planet. It gets a little sadder, though, because the average life expectancy for women is 81. Well done, ladies. That's 4,212 weeks on this planet. For men, it's 76. Bless you. That's 3,952. It's shocking. Sorry about that, guys. These are all averages. And that number seems huge, 4,000 weeks. Well, what does that even mean? I think when you really start to think about it and how we're spending our days and our weeks, what do we want? We don't want to look back and realize that we spent all of that time living in our pain when God has given us a way out. There is a big, beautiful world full of so many possibilities that you don't want to miss. And if we're stuck in the hurt that has been done to us, we just keep letting that hurt keep hurting us. When bad things happen, it is life-altering, but it doesn't have to be life-ruining. So how do we start to untangle from the hurt? How do we start to lean into forgiveness? We remember what he did for us. We remember what he called us to do, and then we get to work forgiving. I'd love to take a moment and just have you close your eyes. If you don't want to, do not. But I want you to think of something maybe that you've been carrying. And I think sometimes there are big, like enormous, unimaginable things. I think for a lot of us, though, it's probably those little things that add up, like a thousand tiny cuts, that just start making us easily angered. Like, if you're one thread away from losing it, and that thread could be that your coffee isn't good in the morning, this might be an area that you want to explore. Because a lot of times, if you know somebody who is easy to get angered, it's likely that all of that anger is actually hiding a lot of hurt, a lot of woundedness. So we may have started out as somebody who was hurt, as a victim, but then we become the one who does the hurting. And you don't want that, and that's not God's heart for you. So thinking of just something maybe, or someone that you think of when you think of forgiveness, I think when you really start to think about it, you start to realize, no wonder that you feel so heavy inside. No wonder you don't want to talk to people or trust anybody or even get out of bed. In the seasons in my life where I have been battling whether or not to forgive, I don't even like music on in the car. I listen to the news. What? But that's a tell for me that, like, I don't even want to rest in a song. I just need to listen to talking because I don't want to think about it. So let the Lord just speak to you about what or who is it. In just a minute, I'm going to invite the location pastors up at our locations. We're going to take communion together. We're going to spend more time remembering what God has done for us. But right now, in view of God's gift of grace and mercy to us, I want to just encourage you to start untangling yourself from the grip of unforgiveness. And maybe for you, it's because you're waiting for that person or those people to say sorry. And unfortunately, that may never come because you don't know them, because they were just like a stinker on the road, you know, that drove off. Maybe because they're gone. Maybe because they're just not going to do it. And so I want to just take a moment and tell you, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry they lied. Sorry they stole from you. Sorry they betrayed you. Sorry they overlooked you. They ignored you. Sorry they didn't give you what you deserved and what you needed. Whatever it is, I'm so sorry, because that shouldn't have happened. I want to pray for you. Before I do, I want you to just think about one more thing, because this book on the weeks has just got me all thinking. I turned 40 a few years ago. I'm not going to tell you how old I am. But what I know is, after you turn 40, you go to the doctor more, even when you're feeling just fine. I go to a PA, and I've gotten to know her very well, probably better than she would like to know me. But one of the things that they do is they check your pulse, right? So wherever you want to find that, bump, 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 will you just do that? It's here, it's here. Is there a doctor in here? Somebody can tell us more places. I don't know. Perfect. So we have that beating heart. What I love about the Lord's Prayer is that it's just not something I grew up memorizing it and reciting it as a child. As an adult, it is something that literally is living inside of me as I say it. I'm letting those words mean something to me. It's not just words. But when you wake up, you get another day. Okay, you don't have to keep doing that, sorry. But you're living and breathing. Your heart is beating. Blood is pumping through your body. And that means that God has something for you to do today. And we do not want today to be clouded by all the hurts from yesterday. We want freedom. God wants that for you, which is why over and over and over again in the Bible, he shows us the way. Don't forget it. Let's pray. Father, in a space like this, at our locations online, we collectively are a people who likely are carrying things that are just really big. And it's heavy and hard, and we may not even remember where it came from, but because we have not been able to let it go, we know that we're carrying it. God, you showed us the way through the gift of your son Jesus and the sacrifice that you made, how to do it. But you also have acknowledged through scripture how hard it is for us to do it, even on a smaller scale. But God, we don't want to live in the hurt. So I just pray that throughout the course of this week, Lord, you would invite us, remind us, prompt us. Maybe we need to write it out and then start crossing them off as we give them to you. And then when we take them back, we do it over again. God, I just pray that you would help us to set our sights on freedom and fullness in you. That God, forgiving maybe doesn't mean all the things that we thought it meant, but it is something that we have to do. And we know that with you with us, we can do it. And Lord, for those that don't feel like they're carrying anything, God, I pray that you would help them find somebody that needs help carrying what they've got, that they could lean in and help others find freedom like they did. God, thank you for showing us the way. Thank you for bringing dry bones to life. Thank you for bringing beauty from ashes. Thank you for the words of Jesus on the cross where he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. God, help us to hold those words in our heart and act them out and behave them out in what we do. We love you and we thank you for showing us the way. In Jesus' name, amen.